My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei HaYomim 1, Perek Yud Aleph. First, some background. When Shaul died, Hashem told David to move to Hebron, and there, Shevet Yehuda, his own tribe, crowned him as their king. He ruled over Yehuda and Hebron for 7 years. At that point, at the initiative of Avner, who had been Shaul's general, the rest of the tribes came to Hebron and crowned David over all of Israel. This is where Perek Yud Aleph begins. The first section of the Perek describes the acceptance of David over all of Israel and his capturing of Yerushalayim and establishing it as his capital. The section has a parallel in Shmuel Bey's Perek Hay. Malbim explains the significance of capturing Yerushalayim as David's first act as king. While David ruled in Hebron, the tribes were divided. Yehuda, under David's rule, while Avner, Shaul's commander, had appointed Ish-bosheth over the rest of Israel. With the unification of all the tribes under David's rule, especially the tribe of Binyamin, which was where Shaul came from, David set out to capture Yerushalayim, which straddles the territories of both Binyamin and Yehuda. Sefer Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, tells us that during the initial conquest of Israel, Yerushalayim was only partially defeated. In Yehoshua Perek Tezvav, the Pasuk says, "Ves ha-Yevusi Yoshvei Yerushalayim lo yachlu b'nei Yehuda lahorisham." As for the Yevusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Yehuda could not drive them out. Rashi explains why. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha Omer, Yecholin hayu, the Medrash says they were able to, Ela shelo hayu rasha'en, but they were not permitted, Machmas ha-shvua shenishba Avram l'Avimelech, because of the promise that Avram had sworn to Avimelech. Rashi tells us that these Yevusites were not from the Canaanite nation Yevusi, which was one of the seven Canaanite nations. Rather, what the Navi later refers to as Migdal David, the Tower of David, was originally called Yevus, and the Philistine people who lived in the vicinity were called Yevusim. Their ancestor Avimelech had made the following pact with Avraham in Bereishis Chaf Aleph: "Im tishkor li l'nini l'nechdi, kachesed asher asisi imcha taseh imadi." Swear to me that you'll be kind to my children and grandchildren, like the kindness that I have shown you. Until this oath had run its course, Yerushalayim could not be captured. David finally captures Yerushalayim and establishes his home in the stronghold and builds the city around it. The remainder of the Perek is a list of David HaMelech's Giborim, literally translated as strong men, and examples of their military heroics. The section begins in Pasuk Yud. Ve'ele Roshe HaGiborim Asher LeDavid HaMischazkim Imo B'malchuso M'kol Yisrael Lamlicho Kidvar Hashem Al Yisrael. These are the strong men who supported David in consolidating his rule over all of Israel. The next pasuk again introduces the Giborim, Ve'ele Mispar HaGiborim Asher LeDavid. Malbim says that these two headings refer to two different lists, actually overlapping lists of Giborim. The first is the list that supported him during his coronation and helped establish his sovereignty over all the tribes. This group covers the entire list of 52 Giborim in our Perek. A subset of this list, the first 36 of the 52, is included under the second heading. They were not only present during the coronation of David, but were David HaMelech's Giborim throughout his reign. This group, which covers the first 36 in our Perek through Pasuk Mem Aleph, also appears in a slightly modified version in Shmuel Bey's Perek Chaf Gimel. Notice the difference in the placement of these lists of Giborim in Divrei HaYomim and in Shmuel. In Divrei HaYomim, the list of Giborim that stood by David as he established his sovereignty appears at the very beginning of the story of David HaMelech. That's where it belongs because the focus of Divrei HaYomim is the greatness of the Davidic dynasty, so it makes sense that the list of his supporters, along with a description of their great strength and heroism, is placed right at the beginning of the story, where it tells us that David reigns over all of Israel and is backed politically and militarily by this impressive group. Shmuel Bey's Perek Chaf Gimel is at the end of David's life. So there, the text is looking back retrospectively at the Giborim that served David throughout his tenure. The 36 Giborim are divided into two groups of three, to make six, and then a group of 30. The first most prestigious group of three, who were closest to David, were Yoshabam, Elazar, and Shammah. Shammah is not mentioned here, but is mentioned in Shmuel. The second set of three are not named right away, but we hear the following story about them. David was fighting a battle with the Plishtim, and the Plishtim had occupied Beis Lechem. David then has the following thought, which he expresses out loud. Mi ashkeni mayim mibor Beis Lechem asher bashar? Who will bring me water from the well in Beis Lechem located near the gate? He didn't actually intend for anyone to bring him the water, but perhaps it was the extreme thirst in the middle of battle or nostalgia for his hometown that motivated his wistful thought. The Psukim then tell us that the anonymous three, this second set of Giborim, broke through the enemy camp and drew water from the well. They brought the water to David, who refused to drink it, saying, Chalilali, me'aso zos, hadam ha'anashim ha'ela eshteh b'nafshosam, ki b'nafshosam hevi'um. Far be it from me to do this, shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives at risk? Twice the well is described here as shar, at the gate. The Gemara in Baba Kama reads more into this story than a case of thirst. The word shar in Tanakh, literally gate, is used in Tanakh as a reference to the national court, the Sanhedrin, or any court of law. For example, with reference to Yibum, Levirate marriage, the Torah says the woman must go up to the Sha'ar. In Megillas Rus, Boaz is described as going up to the Sha'ar to address the halachic status of Rus. The Gemara says Sha'ar in our story refers to the Sanhedrin, and Mayim, water, refers to Torah. David needed not a cup of water, but a clarification regarding a point of halacha, of Torah law. And due to the battle, he couldn't ask the question of the Sanhedrin, which were located in Beis Lechem. The Gemara has an extensive discussion as to what David's question was, and we won't get into that. Continuing the story, the Gemara asks, "Mai lo avad David lishtosam?" What is the significance of the fact that David did not drink the water? The Gemara answers, "Kol hamoser atzmo lamosal divrei Torah, ein omrim dvar halacha mishmo." If someone risks his life for words of Torah, we do not repeat a halacha in his name. Hence, David did not accept the halacha from them, and perhaps this is also why the Giborim involved in this incident are not named here. The point is to discourage risking one's life, which is only allowed under very limited circumstances. From information later in the parak and in Shmuel, we get the names of the people in this group, the second group of Giborim, as Avshai, also called Avishai, who was the leader of the group, Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who was a Kohen, and Asael. Avshai, also called Avishai in Tanakh, appears later in Divrei HaYamim and in Shmuel as a leader in David HaMelech's army and a fiercely loyal advisor. Benayahu appears later in Divrei HaYamim and in Malachim, kings, as a leader in both David and Shlomo's armies. In Sefer Shmuel, Benayahu is described as being in charge of the Krasi and Plasi, translated as archers and slingshooters. The Gemara in Brachos Dalet says the following about Benayahu. Benayahu ben Yehoyada zeh Sanhedrin. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was in charge of the Sanhedrin, the national court. Mechein hu amer, what is the proof for this? Benayahu ben Yehoyada al ha-Krasi val ha-Plasi. It says in Sefer Shmuel that Benayahu was in charge of the Krasi and Plasi. The Lama Nikra Shmam Krasi Plasi. Why is the Sanhedrin called Krasi Plasi? Krasi Shekorsim Divrehem. It is called Krasi because they were decisive in their pronouncements from the root Kaf Resh Saf, which means to cut. And they are called Plasi Shemuflaim B'Divrehem because they are wondrous in their words, from the root pe lamed aleph for wondrous. We've now showed two examples in our parak where the Gemara sees allusions to the spiritual realm, for example, with reference to Benayahu being in charge of the Sanhedrin, and earlier in the story of the water from Beis Lechem representing a question in Torah. There are other examples in this parak as well, which we don't have time to go into, in which the Gemara treats military exploits as accomplishments in Torah study. How do we reconcile these interpretations with the plain meaning of the text? At one point, while being chased by Shaul, David finds himself in the lands of the Plishtim. Achish, the Philistine king, says to him, Yadati, I know, ki tov ata be'enai kemalach Elokim, that you are good in my eyes like an angel of God. In Shmuel Beis, two other people refer to David in the same way. In Perak Yudalid, the woman from Tekoa says, Kemalach Elokim came Adoni Hamelach, like an angel of Hashem is my master. And in Perak Yutes, Mipiboshes, the son of Shaul, says, Vadoni Hamelach Kemalach Elokim, and my master the king is like an angel of Hashem. It turns out that no other individual in Tanakh is called an angel of Hashem. What do we know about angels? Angels have no will of their own. They are pure expressions of Hashem's will. Art Scroll quotes a book about David HaMelech called David King of Israel by Henry Bieberfeld. Henry Bieberfeld, who I had never heard of before, was a German-born Rav in England. He translated the book World of Prayer by Rabbi Monk from German to English, if you're familiar with that sefer. Quoting the book David King of Israel, regarding David being called a Malach Hashem, an angel of Hashem. Quote, thus we see David mirrored in the testimony of his contemporaries. He does not appear to them like another human being, driven by human passions and doubts. His aims and directions are determined by God. Rabbi Bieberfeld continues, the innumerable expressions in Psalms of that absolute suffusion of his person with the will of God so testifies. His limbs and organs were forever animated by the will of the Most High. His heart was hollow in him, a mere receptacle waiting to receive the call of the Master. Getting back to our parak, David's life was completely animated by Hashem's will, whether in the Beis Medrash or on the battlefield. Hence, the Gemara in our parak highlights David's spiritual greatness alongside his military might. It's reasonable to believe that the same consistency was true for his giborim, the men that he surrounded himself with, who were members of Sanhedrin and military heroes at the same time. A concluding point to our parak. When you read Parak Yud Aleph, you cannot miss that there's something going on with the number three. There are numerous allusions to groups of three, the 30 giborim, and mentions of the slaughter of 300 men. What do threes have to do with David HaMelech? First, a textual point. The word shloshim, which means 30, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, is written as shalishim, which means officers. This is called a kriyuksiv, an instance in which a word is written one way, here as shalishim, and meant to be pronounced another way, as shloshim. Based on this, the Targum, the Aramaic translation, translates all appearances of shloshim, 30, as officers. So for the Targum, there's a little less of a pressing question regarding the prevalence of threes in our parak. You still have a lot of threes to deal with. Here is another approach suggested by the Art Scroll. Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, written by Shlomo HaMelech, speaks of 60 giborim surrounding Shlomo's bed. According to Maharal, the number 60 connotes something that is full and complete. For example, the letter Sama, whose value is 60, looks like a circle representing a closed, complete system. We often talk about something being 1/60th, with 60 representing the whole. In our parak, Shlomo HaMelech is described as being supported by 30 giborim. The fact that compared to Shlomo, David HaMelech is described as being supported by exactly half as many giborim expresses the relationship between David and Shlomo's kingdoms, with David's accomplishments being seen as a state of development, a work in progress, which ultimately finds fulfillment in the life of Shlomo. This shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.